Hey, Margie here. If you suffer from dry eye, migraines, eye strain, or just want to have healthy eyes as you age and prevent macular degeneration, cataracts, and glaucoma, well, you are in the right place then. Because the good news is there's so much that can be done. And our special guest today is Dr. Ronnie Banik. And Dr. Ronnie is a board-certified neuro-ophthalmologist who runs a private practice based in New York City. She's also an associate professor of ophthalmology at Mount Sinai. She is certified in integrative and functional medicine and focuses on the root causes of eye diseases and uses strategies based on nutrition, botanicals, lifestyle modification, and supplements for all sorts of vision issues. She's the author of two best-selling books, Beyond Carrots, Best Food for Eye Health, A to Z, and Dr. Ronnie's Plant-Based Visionary Kitchen. And in today's talk, we delve into what can you do? And Dr. Ronnie shares fabulous, easy-to-implement tips that can make a big difference in your eye health. So I'm really excited for everybody to just tune into this episode. Welcome to the Happy Bones, Happy Life podcast. I'm Margie Bissinger, a physical therapist and integrative health coach, and I'm your host and guide on our journey to discover the keys to stronger bones, natural approaches to osteoporosis and bone health, and the secrets to live your best life ever. From nutrition to stress reduction, from exercise to happiness, you will gain revolutionary insights from our leading experts. It is time for you to discover the health and happiness you deserve. Welcome, Dr. Ronnie. I am so excited for this interview because this is a topic that's really near and dear to my heart. I have my grandmother who passed away, but she lived into her late 90s, and I just loved her so much. But she had retinitis pigmentosa and was blind at the end of her life. And even though her mind was great, her bones were good, she was in amazing physical shape. She could walk miles, but yet she was completely blind. And, you know, no one knew. Maybe there could have been other things to have done, but it just broke my heart. You know, a person who was so into fashion and really couldn't even see her great-grandchildren. But, you know, and I hear so many people in the community are starting to have macular degeneration or their vision just isn't as good. And so not only does it ruin the quality of your life, but also for a person who cares about bones, when people have vision issues, they're much more likely to fall and fracture. So this has so many implications, and even for younger people, you know, our society is living on the computer. So I'm so excited for you to touch on all these things. So welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Margie. I'm really excited to be here. And, you know, your grandmother's story, it's very, you know, it's heartbreaking because people rely on their vision for so many things, especially if she was into fashion, you know, not being able to see colors and figures and you know, you could obviously feel fabrics, but not being able to see the texture of the fabrics. It's so debilitating. It can be so debilitating. Yet there's so much people can do to support their vision, to prevent vision issues as they get older. So I'm really excited to share some of this information with you because I think we don't think about our eyes very much. You know, we just take them for granted until something goes wrong, but we need to be proactive about our vision, not just wait until something happens like macular degeneration or cataracts or glaucoma, but be proactive and try to do things to prevent it from happening.
No, I just love your approach. And that's sort of the approach I take with all medicine in terms of digging deep, seeing root causes and dealing with them before it's just you're trying to fix an issue. And especially when things can be prevented and there's so much that can be done. But how did you get into this more holistic, you know, way of treating as an ophthalmologist? How did you get into this?
So I'll try to make a long story short here. So, you know, I was trained in traditional medicine. I went to medical school. I did ophthalmology residency. I did neuro-ophthalmology fellowship. I was working in academic medicine for most of my career, about 15, 16 years. That's all I knew. And it wasn't until I had my own health issue that I became aware of this whole other field of integrative and functional medicine. Like, I didn't even know what these were before. But basically, I was suffering with migraines. It was a really stressful period in my life, maybe about 10 years ago. A lot going on, and I started to get headaches basically like every day. And if you've ever had a migraine, you know how debilitating it can be. And so I was having these headaches every day. I went to basically all the top headache specialists in New York City where I live, and they just prescribed me medication after medication after medication, and I wasn't getting better, you know, and the medications caused me side effects. Finally, I had to find another solution, and I started researching, and I found that, oh my goodness, wow, there are so many research papers out there looking at vitamin supplements like magnesium, riboflavin, which is B2, to help prevent headaches. And I was like, how come none of my doctors ever mention any of this to me? And then one of my colleagues, I was speaking with him, and he said, well, have you ever tried an elimination diet? And I just looked at him and I said, what's an elimination diet? Like, I had no idea. And then he explained to me what it was. He explained to me about functional medicine. And I was like really intrigued. And I said, wow, I never heard of this field of medicine. I want to learn more about it. So I went to a course. I went to a week-long course to get the basics. And I was like, this is it. This is the missing piece of the puzzle, not only for my own health, but for how I practice. Because as you were saying, like most doctors, or you were implying, most doctors, you know, were trained to treat the problem after it happens. We're not to address or find and address the root cause. So I was so fortunate that I discovered functional medicine through my own path. My migraines got better. Then I started to use the same strategies for my patients, for their migraines, then for their eye health. And I saw remarkable improvements. And I was like, this is it. So I got certified. And that's what I do now, is I bring together the best of both worlds, functional integrative medicine with traditional medicine. So it's not like I put that to the side. I definitely use a lot of those principles, those strategies in the care of my patients. But the best way is to bring them together into a combined holistic approach. So that's why I got here today.
Oh, I absolutely love that. And I think that's how a lot of us, it's personal stories. And then we see how this works and why isn't this out there? And that's sort of one of my missions in terms of my podcast, is getting this information out to people so that things like my grandmother, maybe there was something she could have been done earlier. We had no idea what to even look for. All right. So I'm excited because today we're going to focus on what can be done. And I think that's so empowering that, as you said, there are things that can be done that just a lot of us aren't aware of, including me. So this is a podcast. This is a talk. I'm going to be learning a lot.
And I'll say, Margie, including doctors, also a lot of eye care providers, both ophthalmologists and optometrists, they don't know because we were never trained in it. So it's my mission to educate, you know, the public, obviously, but also my colleagues, because we were just never taught. And it's not our fault that we weren't taught.
You know, I think that's a good point, too, because some people are like upset with their doctors. And I don't think they should be, because that's not the training. That wasn't the training in medical school. That wasn't the training. So how could we expect them to be practicing something they really weren't trained in? Even the whole ophthalmology, as you said, your whole residency, everything, it wasn't part of it. It's more, okay, we're very good at fixing the problems. You know, ophthalmologists are amazing at helping get the vision through glasses and different things. But this piece of it was never taught. So I agree, it's not really that fault. And how amazing that you're spreading this. That's even a better mission, because that can go to even so many more people. Yeah, love it.
I feel privileged to be able to share this information. So I really love it.
All right. So we're going to start. Most people know the beta carotene. Like when you ask people, okay, what's a good thing for your eyes? I would say the majority of people think of, you know, beta carotene and carrots, and, you know, that's what comes up. But there's so many more. And I know you talk about additional 30 plus. So you want to share the most important ones that people could just put
absolutely. So I'm going to just grab my eye model back here to show you. So, you know, when we think about the eye, it's a small organ. It's about the size of a golf ball, but it's really complex. And most of us, you know, we think about the eye, we just think about the very front part of the eye that we can see, the white part, the cornea, which is the curved surface. But if you look inside, there is a lot going on here. So it's not just one single type of tissue, one nutrient that we need to keep our eyes healthy. The eye has over 40 parts. And to really fully support all of those 40 parts, to nourish them, to prevent oxidative stress, which is really common in eye conditions, to prevent inflammation, we need a lot of nutrients to support all of those parts. So in my book, Beyond Carrots, I basically, you know, shatter that myth that carrots and beta carotene are all you need. You actually need this whole diversity of nutrients, of 30 different nutrients, like all the B vitamins. We need minerals like magnesium and selenium and manganese, calcium, a lot of things that are actually good for bone health too. We need vitamin D. We need, then there are special eye nutrients that we need, like lutein and zeaxanthin, that a lot of people may have heard of, but you know, they're kind of hard to pronounce, hard to remember, so they may not really know what these nutrients are, but these are all vital nutrients for eye health. So again, if you add them all up, there's at least 30. The good news is that there are many, many foods that provide these nutrients. So it's not just eat one thing and you'll be done, you know, you'll be done for the day in terms of your eyes. You have to eat a diversity of different foods. And in the book, I highlight 40 different foods that I call therapeutic foods because they provide not just one nutrient, but they provide multiple different nutrients that can support your vision health. And I also want to say, Margie, it's not just about your eyes, because whatever you're eating to support your eyes will also help other parts of your body. So there's a lot of overlap between these nutrients, what we need for our eyes, what we need for our brain, our heart, our bones, our skin, our immune system. So it's not just you're only going to be feeding your eyes, you're going to be nourishing all aspects of your health also. So it's a win-win if you include these 30 different nutrients and rotate through the foods that have those nutrients.
Yeah, that's so true, because I always say, you know, the bones are not, I mean, I specialize in this, but the bones are not in isolation. You know, it's not like one part of your body is deficient and that's it. It affects everything, works together. So that's such a good point. Would you say you want to just mention like three that maybe people are missing? What do you find are the most common ones that people are missing in their diet and supplement program?
Yeah, so I would go back to lutein and zeaxanthin. So these are pigments that come from foods. Our bodies can't make these pigments, but we need to get them from foods. And what happens is the body, it absorbs these nutrients and deposits them right into the back of the eye. This is the retina back here. And you see this yellow spot? This yellow spot is because of those pigments getting deposited preferentially right here in the macula. This is called the macula in the back of the eye. So these pigments, this is amazing how our bodies evolved in this way and nature works in this way. But our bodies take these pigments, and the pigments serve as our natural shields. They help protect against blue light, against UV light. So they basically absorb those wavelengths of light that can be potentially harmful, and they neutralize them. So it's amazing that we have these natural blue blockers, these natural sunglasses in our eyes. Unfortunately, most of us are deficient in these nutrients. We're just not getting enough of lutein and zeaxanthin. So I'll give you an example. Like most of us, we need about 6.5 milligrams of lutein a day, at least 6.5. Some people think 20 milligrams a day, but at least 6.5 milligrams a day of lutein. Most of us are only getting about 1 or 2 milligrams of lutein. So we're just not getting enough of these nutrients to protect our eyes. And probably that's why rates of eye conditions are rising, like macular degeneration, for example. And those rates are skyrocketing because these nutrients protect us against conditions like that. So where can you find these nutrients? I'm going to give you three top foods. One would be, it's a category of food, so leafy greens. Any kind of leafy green, whether it's spinach, kale, Swiss chard, collard greens, mustard greens, dandelion greens. If it's green and leafy, it will have a high concentration of lutein and zeaxanthin. Now, let's say you're not a big fan of leafy greens. You don't like their taste, they're bitter, or let's say you have an oxalate sensitivity and you can't have leafy greens, then what else can you have? Well, another great food is egg yolk. So I know a lot of people, they were taught don't eat the egg yolk because it's high in cholesterol. Well, I think that myth has been debunked, but the egg yolk, the reason why it's so beautiful, that orange yellow color, is because of these pigments, lutein and zeaxanthin. So definitely eat your egg yolks with the egg whites. And then the third food, type of foods, would be orange and yellow bell peppers. These are, the color of those bell peppers is because of these nutrients. And so a lot of people, you know, they think about adding bell peppers to their foods. They choose the green variety because they're the most commonly found or they're a little bit cheaper. But if you can, try to get the orange and yellow ones and include them in your diet because they are the richest in these nutrients. So there are many other foods that I could keep going on and on and on about which foods provide these nutrients, but those are some easy ones that you can try to include in your diet on a regular basis.
Okay, so the orange and yellow are better than the red then?
Yes. Okay. Yes, the red has its own spectrum of great nutrients, but if you're looking to eat for your eyes, choose the orange and yellow ones and really try to, I shouldn't say stay away from the green ones, but make the green ones less common in your diet.
Yeah, you might as well optimize the foods that are going to help. You know, what's the difference if you're going to put a pepper in? You might as well put the orange or the yellow. That's something I had no idea. You know, I will now think
and
about.
Actually, if you try them, they each have like a different taste profile. So you may find like you prefer one or one over the other. But I think the more colorful yellow peppers, like again orange, yellow, red, they are a little bit sweeter in their taste profile. So try them out and see. But
yeah, I always get the local ones. Yeah, you can get the bag of the small ones that are so.
Oh, I love those. The mini peppers, they are delicious. Yeah. And you know what I've recently started doing? It's super simple. I have an air fryer, which I love. So I just, put a, kind of marinated a little bit in some olive oil and some salt and just air fry it. And it's basically like getting grilled peppers in just a few minutes. So super, super delicious. You can eat them plain or put them on, your burgers or add them to salads. It's really, really a simple way to get that nutrient in.
Now, a question. So I'm thinking even myself, like I have tons of leafy greens in my diet and I do have the peppers. Would I also need a supplement? I mean, if I was at risk or having symptoms, like, do people need more than that in terms of, or is the diet enough for those two nutrients?
So I'll tell you, most people, they've done population studies to see like across different communities and the way they eat, which populations are least at risk for things like macular degeneration. And the populations that, like, for example, there are populations in the Pacific Ocean, in the Fiji Islands, for example, they eat so much of these nutrients that they don't need anything supplemental. But for the majority of people, they're simply not getting enough. Again, try to get 6.5 to 20 milligrams a day. You'd have to eat a large volume, which some people do. And if you do, great, then you probably don't have to take a supplement. I typically recommend at least 5 cups a day of these types of foods. So if you're getting that 5 cups, you're probably good. But in case you're not, then yes, I would suggest taking a supplement because again, you're also protecting against blue light and screen time. And you were mentioning earlier, all of us are so glued to our screens. We know with good reason, for work or for school or for connecting with friends and family, for social media. Most adults are on screens over 10 hours a day, which is crazy to think, but it's true. And so our eyes are getting bombarded by blue light. And, it's a simple thing to eat well, but also to take a supplement that has lutein and zeaxanthin in it. So I recommend a supplement, an eye health supplement for all my patients. I take one, my family. We all try to do whatever we can to really fortify our eyes. So yeah, it's a great way to boost your intake of lutein, zeaxanthin. I actually have a supplement that I recommend, I developed called Fortify, and it does just that.
Show us, do you have that? Is that what's in back of you?
It is, yes. So I have a line of different supplements that are curated for eyes, but this is the one, Fortify, that's curated for like blue light and macular degeneration, eye strain. It has lutein, zeaxanthin. There's a third one also, a nutrient called mesozeaxanthin. And I know, again, it's really hard to pronounce, hard to remember, but perhaps mesozeaxanthin is the most important of all three. And it's hard to get meso from foods. So the supplement really gives you the boost because it has all three of the macular carotenoids, which are, again, lutein, zeaxanthin, mesozeaxanthin.
So why would you use that one over the Fortify? Like who would use, how would they choose which one to use?
Oh, well, this one does have all three. This has all three in it. Yeah.
The meso.
Yeah, it has the meso also. It has all three. So lutein, zeaxanthin, meso. And also it has a couple of other things like astaxanthin, which is an up-and-coming nutrient. A lot of people have probably heard of astaxanthin for their skin health or their immune system. But there's also research to show that it can help protect your eyes from eye strain, improve blood flow to the eyes, protect against macular degeneration. So again, Fortify has all of that plus astaxanthin. So
that's great. So if someone, because a lot of people will look at their multivitamin and say, okay, I have lutein, I have, but are the doses enough in those? Because I find a lot of times with these multivitamins, they have very minuscule amounts that really aren't therapeutic. What have you found?
Yeah, so look at the labels. I know a lot of multis, first of all, they don't have lutein at all. Most multis don't. Like if you look at, for example, probably the top selling one on the market, which is Centrum Silver or Centrum, their Centrum brand. Most of the Centrums don't have lutein in them. So look at the labels and choose a multi that does have lutein. And for eye health, so, I talked about the 30 nutrients earlier. Another class of nutrients that can really support your eyes are bioflavonoids, which also come from plants. They protect plants from disease and infection. So when we ingest those bioflavonoids, they can support our own health as well. And so if you're going to get a multi, look for a multi that has the lutein but also has bioflavonoids, because that way you're not only supporting your whole body, you're also supporting your eyes. And so I have a multi called Nourish that has everything a regular multi would have, plus the lutein, an extra dose of lutein, plus the bioflavonoids. So be aware, look at the labels, and make sure that you're making choices that are going to benefit your whole body, not just one organ.
Hey, it's Margie. I want to give you one of my best gifts. It's the Improve Your Bone Health Naturally mini class, where you'll learn the most important supplements, foods, exercise principles, and stress reduction techniques for stronger, healthier bones. It includes demonstrations of my favorite posture exercises for better bone health that you can do right now. Just check out the show notes and there'll be a link that will take you to a page to get those for free. Just enter your name and email. Thanks, now back to the show. You know, it's interesting because a lot of times we think of our eyes deteriorating as we get older. We're going to focus on hormones and that in a minute. But young people who are living on screens their whole life, very different than my generation did at that age. What do you see? Have you been seeing issues where things are deteriorating at a much quicker rate because of this?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge young people are having, well, two things: eye strain from being on the screen all day. Three things, actually. Eye strain, dry eye from looking at the screen all day and not blinking enough, and headaches, particularly migraine headaches. So I've definitely seen a huge rise in all of those three types of symptoms in my younger patients, like people who are in their 20s, 30s, even children. I've seen a lot of teens and preteens, tweens who've come in with eye strain, just especially when they were doing remote school during the pandemic. Screens, again, are such a boon to us. You know, we benefit so much from our screens. We can be so productive and it's so important for connection, but they have the screen time has a lot of downside too. And so what I typically recommend is, yes, you want to have a solid diet that going to provide you with the nutrients to prevent against dry eye and eye strain, et cetera, but also be mindful of your screen time. Take breaks. So the American Academy of Ophthalmology recommends a 20-20-20 rule. I don't know if you've heard it before, but
I teach ergonomics, so I do chip this piece because when people are taking the break for their body, they need to take it also for their eyes. Yeah.
So the 20-20-20 rule, for anyone who hasn't heard about it before, is basically every 20 minutes, take a 20-second break and look at something. Instead of looking at your screen, look at something like 20 feet in the distance, and that will relax your eyes. But I actually prefer just the 20-20 rule, which is every 20 minutes, take a 20-second break and close your eyes, or maybe even do some eye palming. I love this exercise of eye palming because that will help you just to get a break from that blue light from the screens, but also to lubricate. You know, when you close your eyes, you're lubricating your eyes, and it helps to spread the tears and helps prevent dry eye. And also when you're doing that, you can do a little short meditation. You can do like a little meditative breathing during that 20-second break that you're taking, but while you're doing eye palming. So I love combining some of these, positive health strategies together because, again, you can not only benefit your eyes, you can benefit so many other aspects of your health.
Oh, I just love this. And it's interesting because I had learned about that palming as well. And there was a period of time, and I have good posture and I may teach this. And there was a period of time where I was on the computer, everything set up perfectly and, you know, my mechanics, and I was just getting I was getting headaches and eye strain that I mean, it was really debilitating. I'd never in my life had it just because the amount of time it was preparing for a summit. And I had so many interviews and so many things where I was just on this computer, and it was scary how horrible it was. So incorporating just getting off, doing that, doing breathing was so effective. But are you also saying that people who get the eye strain, doing the nutrients, like the supplements, will help them as well?
Yeah, actually, there are studies to show that people who take, who have a high intake of lutein, zeaxanthin, or take a supplement, they actually have reduced eye strain, reduced eye fatigue when being on a screen, reduced dry eye, reduced headaches. And there's an interesting study that was just published last month about kids taking these nutrients as a supplement, school-age kids, like elementary school, basically, who were on screens at least, I think, like 4 to 6 hours a day, I believe. That's what the study looked at. And so they also had benefits by simply taking these nutrients. So there are protectors, there are shields, our eyes, and, you know, just they also help us be more productive. Because if you're really, like you were saying, if you're struggling, you can't really work at your best. You can't be, really be optimal in your function. So by being proactive about that, you know, eating well, taking a supplement, taking those breaks, you can really improve your endurance when you're on a screen and be more productive. So it's a win-win all around, I think, doing, you know, combining the nutrition and the supplementation and the lifestyle strategies when it comes to your eyes.
Oh, I love that. Okay, let's talk about hormones, because as people get older, there are changes. And what do people need to be aware of? Or are there signs that are saying, hey, you know, you need to, you know, because a lot of people just accept, you know, I'm getting older, my eyes are getting worse, and they're just going to keep deteriorating, and that's it. And I really think that's, do you agree with me that that's what a lot of people just accept?
There definitely are many changes. Some of them, yes, they happen as people get older, but some of them do relate to hormones. And so I'll just share this with you. Across the board, women who are menopausal or postmenopausal have a much higher prevalence of eye conditions, like dry eye, like cataracts, like macular degeneration, like glaucoma. So basically, the four leading causes of vision issues, women lead in that, in those conditions. And it has to do with, you know, dropping levels of sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, but also testosterone. We don't realize this, but for women, testosterone is also important. So all of those levels start to drop, and then these, you know, those protective benefits of those hormones start to go away, and people are more, especially women, are more predisposed. Not to say that men don't get those conditions as well, but it's much more common in women. Now, unfortunately, the research, even though we know this, there isn't that much research done to show exactly why drops in those hormone levels are predisposing women, particularly women, to these eye conditions. One thing I can say is that a common eye condition is dry eye. And we know that there are, now this may be interesting for some people to learn, that a lot of people have dry eye because it's not just the surface is drying out, it's because the glands in their eyelids are not functioning properly. So we have these tiny little glands in our eyelids that secrete oils that contribute to lubricating our eyes. And these glands, they're in the upper eyelids and the lower eyelids. We have about 25 to 30 glands in each eyelid. If you actually pull down your eyelid and you look in the mirror and you see where your eyelashes are coming out from, you'll see these tiny little dots right behind the eyelashes. Those are the openings of the glands. And so these glands, they produce healthy oils when, you know, when we don't have dry eye, but when we are not taking care of our eyes or the hormone levels are dropping, particularly testosterone, those glands start to get clogged up. They get clogged up with keratin. They get clogged. They can get infected. They can cause styes. And then they start to atrophy. And once those glands start to atrophy, when they start to degenerate and basically disappear, there's no way for us to get them back. And it has a direct relation to our hormone levels. So when testosterone levels drop, estrogen levels drop, progesterone levels drop, those glands start to you know, not function and then start to atrophy. So we know that at least. But with respect to the other eye conditions, like again, macular degeneration, cataracts, glaucoma, we don't know what the exact link is between the dropping hormone levels and those predisposition to those eye issues. There's a lot of research that unfortunately is missing. When I hope that probably in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll understand these processes a lot more.
Have you seen personally in your practice that when people are on the bioidentical hormones, that there's a it helps, or that there's a reduction in these issues?
It helps somewhat. So it's interesting. You would think that if you just replace those hormones, that it's going to fix the problem. It may help other organs and other types of symptoms. When it comes to your eyes, the studies have not shown that, first of all, regular hormone replacement therapy, HRT, has not been shown to help for dry eye, for example. Bioidentical, I would say in my practice, 50% of my patients who are doing bioidentical hormones have benefits. The other 50% don't. So what I do in my practice is I give them, my patients, and especially if they have gland dysfunction, I actually image the glands. There's a way to non-invasively image the glands. It's an amazing technology that we use infrared technology to actually take pictures of the glands. So I can see what the glands look like. I use other means. And this is where my integrative training comes in. So I use compounded creams that people can put on their eyes, not inside the eye, but on their eyelids to get those hormones directly to the glands. In some cases, I even use eye drops, compounded eye drops, whether it's testosterone or DHEA. And I've been experimenting now with estradiol eye drops in my patients, but that's what really makes the difference. So again, you can give it systemically, but it may not necessarily get to where it needs to go. So I give it more directly to the eye topically or in the form of a drop. And that's where I've seen the most benefit. That's where people make the most strides in terms of their dry eye.
Wow, I love that. Because a lot of people just put drops. You know, they live with it, sort of doing a Band-Aid approach. Well, let's treat the symptom instead of getting to the root cause. So how... That's
exactly it. When, you know, eye drops, not to say that they don't work, they definitely can work. You know, if you have dry eye, you need to lubricate. So it's like when you get dry skin, you need to moisturize and lubricate. The eye drops do the same thing. But what we're talking about are artificial drops, artificial tears, which are natural lubricant or replenishment, lubricating replenishment. But what I'm talking about with the creams or the compounded drops are, like you said, treating the root cause of where it's coming from. Not just, you know, putting a Band-Aid on the problem, but getting to why do people have dry eye and what can we do from a root cause perspective to help them eliminate it or just, you know, improve it to the point where they may not have to rely on their artificial tears as much.
Oh, I just love that. You know, you're in New York City. Is this something you do one-on-one with your patients? So it's not something someone can just...
It has to be one-on-one because it is, you know, there has to be... an established doctor-patient relationship so I can take care of these patients. I can prescribe things for them. So yes, it would have to be through an appointment.
That's great that there is something else that can be done. I love that. Okay, so now I want to talk about eye exercises. Do they really, you know, there's a lot of question, is this a fact or is this fiction? Do they really help? I know my daughter had a concussion, a very bad concussion. She was hit by a motor scooter walking, you know, going the wrong direction in New York City. I saw you probably see a lot of this. But for her in that situation, they were essential. And a lot of people don't even know that that's a piece of it, that you have to really deal with the eye after a concussion. But other in general, do you find that eye exercises can help vision?
Yes. So I want to just preface this conversation by saying that there are certain things eye exercises help with. And there are certain things that they may not help with. So, you know, when I first was exploring integrative functional medicine, I came across this book by Dr. William Gates called The Bates Method. And so I don't know if you've heard of this book. Basically, he was a doctor who actually worked at the hospital where I teach as well at Mount Sinai. And this was like 70, 80 years ago that he was doing his experiments with eye exercises, et cetera. And back then, what he was proposing is, for people to do certain eye exercises to get rid of their prescription, to get it to improve their refractive error. And in his experiments, he found that they worked. So, you know, these exercises were recommended to young people, particularly young children in school, to see if it would reduce their myopia or reduce their hyperopia, would reduce their astigmatism. Unfortunately, even though in his experiments they worked, other people who tried to replicate his experiments, it did not work. And I tried them because I have myopia myself. I'm like a minus 350 and a -2 in the other eye. I tried those exercises to see if they would work for me, and they didn't work for me. So I don't recommend eye exercises for trying to reduce your refractive error, trying to reduce your power or your dependence on glasses, et cetera. But eye exercises of a different kind can help a lot if your eyes are feeling strained, if you're seeing double vision, if you're suffering from concussion or you're having headaches. Yes, in those situations, eye exercises can make a big difference. So it depends what you're doing it for. Again, try to kind of separate that in your mind, whether you're doing it for glasses or you're doing it for comfort and improving eye strain and improving brain function. Because in that area, I do think it really, really helps. So for example, one eye exercise I really love to share with my patients is eye yoga. Have you ever heard of eye yoga before?
I've heard of it, but I've never done it. So yeah.
So it's super simple. You can do it, you know, if you're doing that 20-20 rule in your 20-minute, every 20 minutes, you can do a quick eye yoga. So basically, imagine that there's a clock face in front of you with 12, you know, the numbers 12 on the clock face. And what you're going to do is you're going to look at each number on that clock face for 3 seconds. So you're going to keep your head straight. You're going to look up to the number 12 for 3 seconds. And then the number 1, the number 2, 3, 4, and so on. I'm not going to go through the entire exercise, but basically you're going to go clockwise 2 cycles, and then you're going to go counterclockwise for 2 cycles. And if you do that, basically what you're doing is you're relaxing your eyes. When we're looking on our screen, we're using a process called accommodation. That can really cause a lot of strain if we're doing that for too long. So when you do the eye yoga and you're looking at the clock face, you're relaxing your accommodation, you're stretching out some of those other eye muscles, and it really just helps to improve your endurance and relax that eye strain.
That was not easy. That's not easy for me. That's so interesting. So it reminds me of something called the Feldenkrais exercises that as a physical therapist we use that are so effective because you're asking the body to do something it's not accustomed to. And when you do that, it breaks bad habits. It's like the quickest way I've ever seen to improve posture. So in my head, it's like a similar type of philosophy why that could be so effective.
I love that. Yeah. So you're exactly right. You know, we don't typically look in all these different directions because we're looking at our screen all the time. We're looking like straight ahead in front of us, like 14 inches in front of us. But if we initially do them, we may feel like you were saying, you may feel a little uncomfortable. And that's normal because your eyes are not used to looking in those directions. But the more you do it, the more relaxed you'll notice your eyes are feeling and the easier it's going to get to do those exercises. So don't be frustrated. Don't get, you know, a little bit kind of feel so uncomfortable that I'm not going to do this because I feel uncomfortable. That's exactly why you should do it, because you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable.
And how often should we do that? I'm going to add this now. This is something that it sounds incredible because it's just what I teach with other things, but now you're applying it to the eyes. How often, what would you recommend for someone starting off?
A couple of cycles, like 2 times a day. And if you're really on a screen for hours and hours, maybe 3 times a day, just take your breaks and do your eye yoga, do some palming. Again, palming is super simple. Rub your palms together, generate a little heat, cup them and put them over your eye bones. And basically don't put any pressure directly on your eyes. But with this, all you're doing is you're eliminating any visual stimulus from getting to your eyes. You're eliminating the blue light or any kind of light from getting to your eyes. And you're doing some meditative breaths, and it's really a great way to reset your eyes. And it'll help, again, it'll help you be more productive. It'll help your endurance when you're on a screen. It's so simple to do. And it's, you know, you're incorporating the deep breathing, the meditating into it as well. So it stimulates your vagus nerve a little bit. So it's really a wonderful, simple exercise. So I would do the eye yoga first and then follow that with some palming and then just resume, keep working. And you'll see your just eyes are going to feel more refreshed and relaxed when you do that combination.
Isn't that amazing that a simple thing like this, that at the end of the day, you're going to feel like a different person? You know, I have people do the same thing, just taking breaks and moving, and their whole lives change because you're not overworking and you're not so fatigued at the end of the day. So those are fantastic. I'm excited to try them because there are things we can do. And I think that's
things. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you know a friend or family member, a colleague who's on their screen all the time, just share it with them because it's so simple to do. And I mean, people have told me it's really transformed their ability to work on a screen. I've had patients who were so debilitated from their screen time and their work demands. You know, some of them even wanted to go on disability because they were not able to function. Their vision was getting worse and worse and worse. And by simply incorporating these exercises, it made such a difference in their lives. So simple things can really move the needle when you're struggling with especially an eye issue.
You know, it's funny because when I was having that issue, I realized that I have to practice what I preach. And I was just so busy with my summit and so busy interviewing that I wasn't doing all these really important habits. I was just going one interview to the next. So once I started this, it's been years now, you know, I haven't had any problems.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
But I wasn't doing, you know, and just taking the breaks. Does it matter? I also have a screen that is like, you know, one of those screens that reduces the glare and things. Does that matter? Have you found that that's important at all?
Is your screen, is it like a filter that you put on it or is it internally?
Oh, it's a screen. It's called Energy Star. I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's a screen. My son was having all sorts of eye issues being at the computer so much. And so he was the one that suggested it, and it really has made a difference for me as well.
So there are certain screens that are designed, you know, that like our phones, you know, we can put a setting on our phones, like the night shift mode. So after a certain time when the sun sets, the color temperature of your phone will change, shifting from cooler blue light to warmer tones like yellow and orange and amber. And that can really relax your eyes. And I'm not sure if the Energy Star screen does that, but what I'll tell you is that there is an app that I recommend, an app that you can download to your device, whether it's your computer, your tablet, your phone, and it will internally take out the blue light after sunset. And actually, it's a really intelligent app. It knows, based off of your geographic location, it knows what time the sun is rising where you are and when the sun is setting, and it will adjust the temperature of your screen to match the natural cycle of the sun. And so I strongly recommend this if you're suffering from screen fatigue and eye strain and light sensitivity. Install this app. It's called Iris, and I can share it with you if you want to include it in the notes. But it's a simple thing. You can download it to basically any screen except a television screen. So for some reason, you're not able to download it to a TV, but you know, your computer monitor, etc. Try it out. I think it's a free trial for about 7 to 14 days, and then you can purchase it. It's really not that expensive at all, but it can really help you, and it automatically is dynamically changing the color temperature of your screen to match your environment. And the other thing it can do, and this is really, really interesting, most of our screens flicker. So they're flickering at a very, very high rate to save battery life. And so we may not necessarily see the flickering, but our eyes pick it up and our brains pick it up. So consciously, we may not know that it's flickering, but subconsciously, we know that it's flickering. And that constant flickering can really trigger a lot of light sensitivity for people. It can trigger headaches. You know, imagine like you're in a store and there's overhead lights that are, you know, kind of flickering. I know many people are really bothered by that, but imagine your screen's doing the same thing at a super high rate. So this app, Iris, can actually take out the flickering. It can remove the flicker rate, which is so relaxing. Like as soon as it turns on, you immediately sense kind of down regulation of that, you know, that fatigue. I can't even describe it, but your brain immediately senses it and everything just kind of relaxes and you feel more at ease when you're looking at the screen. So I would suggest you try it out.
Oh, I love that. And last thing, what about the glasses? Like I do wear at nighttime. I mean, I try not to be on the screen after 8, but if I ever am, even watching television, I wear the blue light glasses because, you know, the amber, the colored lenses, which changed my life completely. But also during the day, oftentimes if I'm going to be on, I will wear the glasses as well to reduce the blue light. Is that something you recommend?
So the truth is that most blue blockers, if they're lighter in color, let's say, for example, they're clear or they're really light yellow, they're not blocking much of the blue light. So only about 10 to 30% of the blue light. So if you wanted to use that during the day, you know, if you're feeling eye strain, you're feeling a little bit of sensitivity, you can use the lighter ones during the day. But if you really want to prevent some of the other adverse effects of blue light, for example, if it's affecting your sleep patterns, it's giving you insomnia, or for children, you know, there's actually some studies that show that kids who are exposed to blue light, too much blue light later in the day, they actually have hyperactivity and it may lead to attention deficit issues, et cetera. You want to get a stronger blue blocker to prevent those types of more serious issues. So what you were describing, like a deeper amber color or orange color or red color, those types of blue blockers are going to be more effective for more of the health issues later in the day. But if you just want it during the day, you can definitely use the lighter tint blue blockers. But beyond that, so there's actually no scientific evidence that these blue blockers really work. And people may feel, you know, yes, it really helps me, which is totally wonderful if it helps you personally. But the science isn't there yet. There's been no study to show that blue blockers help. But if you wanted to really do what the science shows, use the nutrients, boost your intake of those nutrients. Because again, they're your natural blue blocking filters. They're your natural blue blocking pigments and shields. So why not add that to your routine also for your eye health?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many things. So tell people, because you have something amazing. You have two amazing things. So tell people, though, if they're listening to this real time, but I guess you'll probably have a replay of the webinar, or is that just something they have to come to? Tell us what's happening. You have something for people who want
to look. I want to share this information with as many people who want to listen. You know, if you care about your eyes, please, please, please take advantage of these two things. The first thing is I have a free webinar I'm going to be giving soon, and we can include the date and the link to register. It's called The Top 3 Vision Issues That Develop After Age 40 and What You Can Do to Prevent Them. So this is really, really important. If you want to prevent things like macular degeneration and cataracts and glaucoma, I'm going to share some really important tips in that webinar. And then I have a course that I teach. It's an online program called Ageless Eyes by Dr. Ronnie. And in this course, it's a 4-week long protocol where I teach you to really become an advocate for your own eye health. I teach you DIY strategies, kind of like what we've been talking about today, simple things you can do to promote your eye health and prevent against some of the most common causes of blindness as we all get older. So it's a 4-week program. I just finished one cohort of it. I'm going to run another cohort coming up very soon in the spring. But I would love for people to, number one, watch the webinar. But then also, if you want to go further, you want to dive further into your eye health and be proactive, consider taking the course Ageless Eyes by Dr. Ronnie.
You know, I looked at the curriculum. It's amazing. I think I'm going to take it because, as I said, you know, am I more at risk because my grandmother had retinitis pigmentosa? I am. Okay. And there's things that you can do for that as well.
But there are certain genetic markers, and hopefully it's not been passed along to you, because if it happens, it can be really debilitating. But there's so many eye conditions that do happen as we all get older that we need to be proactive about. So I would love it for you to be in the course, Margie. I would love for you to join us in this journey.
I mean, who doesn't want their eyes? I right now don't wear any glasses at all. I've been very lucky in terms of having, you know, good eyes, but who doesn't want their eyes to stay, you know, great as we age and, you know, not have that as an issue, which unfortunately plagues so many people.
Yeah. And actually, I have a bonus module in the course about the cosmetic changes. Of course, we want to keep our eyes healthy on the inside, but how our eyes look on the outside also matters so much. You know, some people end up with dark circles or bags or sags, fine lines, wrinkles. So in the course, I have a bonus module on how you can manage some of those more cosmetic eye issues as we all get older, and how to do it naturally. So not having to resort to something like Botox or fillers or lasers or surgeries. You know, there are so many things people can do to be proactive about the skin around their eyes and keeping them looking youthful and ageless.
So you mean we can use less of our eye concealer?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, this has just been, is there anything else we want to end with? This has been beyond helpful, Dr. Ronnie. I'm so thrilled that we're going to spread this information because, as I said, you know, my grandmother, my uncle also, he had macular degeneration. And, you know, it was just so sad to see people who were reading and vibrant, and not that they didn't live their lives, but it certainly takes a piece of your life away. And especially when there's preventative things like vitamins and nutrients and just, you know, knowledge is power, I always say. So when we can put that to our eye health, you know, why not? That's fantastic.
Yeah, I love your message, Margie. I always say, you know, our vision is precious and we need to protect and preserve it. That's my motto, is to be proactive. And if anyone is interested, you can reach out to me through my website, which is www.drronniebannick.com. Or I'm also on Instagram. If anyone is on Instagram, I share a lot of tips on eye health, but also on migraine on my Instagram. So please follow me if you're interested. It's dr.ronniebannick on Instagram.
And if you live in New York, right, you see people, you know, do you do any virtual work, or it's mostly?
I do virtual work. I'm licensed in New York, so patients have to be in New York. So you can schedule an in-person visit with me in my office, or we could do a telemedicine as well. So I'm happy to give you personalized advice, but it would have to be through an appointment.
Oh, that's great. Any last minute things before we end? I love what you just said about the vision.
Thank you so much, Margie, for giving me the opportunity to share what I'm so passionate about. And I also want to thank you for giving, you know, people all of these amazing tidbits about, you know, what they can do to be so proactive about every aspect of their health, aside from bone health, eye health, you know, all of these things that we talked about. They're going to benefit you in such deep ways, impactful ways. So you can be your own health advocate in so many ways.
Oh, I love that. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And I look forward. We just saw each other recently, which is We've been talking about being on here for a while when we first met, but then I recently saw, we saw each other a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you have to come on. This information
Oh, thank you.
is
It's really, yeah, thank you so much for inviting me.
So I'm so glad. Thank you so much. Wow. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Dr. Ronnie, and now have some easy action steps you can put into your life that will make a big difference in the health of your eyes. And healthy eyes are important because we want to be able to see all the wonderful things that life has in store for us. So make sure to look at the show notes where I'll have the links to Dr. Ronnie's webinar as well as her course and her website. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode. Be sure to get your free gift that includes the best posture exercises and stress reduction techniques for better bone health that you can do right now by clicking the link in the show notes or YouTube descriptions. Also, if you know someone with low bone density or osteoporosis, then please do them a favor and share this link to the show with them. Until next time, continue to live your best life ever. See you soon.